Hello, Foster Brown here. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. And we're going to continue a proud tradition of answering your questions right here on The Great Voice of the Great Lakes, 760 AM WJR. Dr. Dean, help you with the garden. We're going to be helping you to root out the bugs that may be in your computer system and bugging you. You can give us a call at 800-859-0957. And we're going to start answering your questions in just a moment. Have you ever heard the expression, you know, today is the first day of the rest of your life? Well, in many ways for us here at the Internet Advisor, today is the first day of the rest of our spring and summer of 2015. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program. Gary Baker is in studio with me, my co-host for many years.
That's right. We're in our 18th season, hard to believe.
That's right. Mr. Ed Riddell, good to have you back with us as well.
Always great to be here.
And delighted to know that Tina, your wife, is back home.
Yes.
That's most important. Watching the Tigers playing this afternoon.
Watching the Tigers and probably throwing things. No, she's not throwing things at the TV.
No, you think they're going to be winning.
You think after all the years that we've been married, and she'll go, did you see that? Did you see that pitch? And I'm like, honey, you have to remember who you married. I am not in your family. Her family just loves sports. I'm a geek, right? I'm reading a book while she's watching the Tigers game.
Oh, my. Cal Carson is with us as well. Cal, good to have you here.
You know, it's really great to be back. It's really wonderful to hear that your wife is doing much better, and definitely we like hearing that type of news for sure.
Absolutely.
And, hey, let her, you know, just cover the TV with Visqueen. Let her go for it.
And by the way, our phone number here, and I want to give this out right away because the big news is that this hour is going to be an hour that's live and open for you. It's kind of like a computer store in your neighborhood has opened up. And if you're driving along and you're listening to this, or if you're at home and you're hearing this and you've had some computer problems, we've got a whole group of people in here with Ed and Cal in particular who have been handling tech problems for years who would love to help you. Here's the phone number, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR.
So, Foster, are you saying that this is now the agile version of the Internet Advisor?
There you go. And as and with that kind of, I love it, that kind of a handle, we'd like to also welcome Jason Dinkelman, who's in studio with us. Jason is somebody who, along with Gary, was involved in agile development back in the days when you were in Cengage.
That's right. And thankfully, there are many, many people involved in agile development here. Yes. In the state of Michigan now, and there's a big conference coming up called Agile and Beyond. This is the sixth year, right, Jason?
Yep, this is the sixth year.
You're one of the organizers. Tell us about it.
I am. So it's the, like you said, it's in the sixth year now. For the first time in 6 years, we're doing two full days of Agile development training. But basically, you know, anybody can come on to the Adobe Hotel in Dearborn on April 30th and May 1st and join us for
and so education. And Agile started here. Yeah. It was called Extreme Programming when it first started at Chrysler back in 1996, and it exploded around the world.
Yeah.
And we weren't doing that much of it here. And now some smaller companies were involved, but now some large companies are getting involved. Ford is is very big into Agile now, and and they're going to have 120 out of
About 120 people. Yep, and other big companies like Quicken Loans and can't think of any off the top of my head, but there's a lot of
700 total people coming.
About 700 total people. We got about 75 tickets left. So if people want to get tickets, they should go to agileandbeyond.com and get them.
Yes. All right, agileandbeyond.com. Yep. All right, and we'll be posting that on our homepage after the program as
Where's our homepage at?
Internetadvisor.net.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that.
And there'll be a podcasting because we talked to Jason quite extensively in the first hour, and that's all in the podcast.
Yep, and you can find out more about that. Jason, thanks so much.
No, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thanks,
hey,
Jason.
Somebody else, by the way, who will be a part of our program every week is somebody who is our partner in getting technology news out to you folks, and that's Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News. And Mike, thank you very much for joining us here again. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What a glorious day it is out there.
Oh, it certainly is. It's a wonderful day out there. I should explain, by the way, folks, Mike has a unique kind of a news service in the sense that it talks about the technology news of what's going on within our state of Michigan, around the world as well, and also about entrepreneurial experiences that are going on here. And he's got a lot of other kinds of resources. But let's get a little, kind of a little flavoring of what the stories you have out there, Mike. One of the stories I saw you have this week is about 31 Sprint Radio Shack stores resurrecting themselves.
Yeah, back from the dead. They eliminated 1,700 in Sprint Bottom, and now they have 31 stores, Sprint Radio Shack stores, in Michigan, and they're looking to hire at least 70 sales associates for their store-within-a-store concept. Not real sure what that is, but I have a complete list of every store in Michigan where they're hiring for folks that are looking for a job.
Wow, that's excellent. So, folks, by the way, if you would go to mitechnews.com, or better yet, simply go to internetadvisor.net, and we have a link to the MI Tech News website, you will be able to find not only this story, but many, many others. And stories like, for instance, Mike, I see here, a Republican senator is trying to eliminate the Michigan Energy Choice. What's up with that?
You're allowed to go in total across the state. Up to 10% of folks are allowed to hook up to something other than DTE or consumers. He wants to eliminate that because he thinks it's unfair for them to do their energy projections if people can bail out and buy it from somebody else. Not sure I buy that logic, that's what he's advocating. Yeah. But I think it may be just politics and he's negotiating.
Well, but those are the kind of stories that you delve into as well, along with one other one I think that's important for people looking for a job. 3,000 jobs are going to be open, and lots of people gathered together by the Engineering Society of Detroit coming up soon.
Yes, our new partner on our newsletter, the Engineering Society of Detroit, is having their big job fair on April 13th at the Suburban Collection Showplace out there in Novi. And 50 employers, 3,000 open positions, just anything in the STEM area, technical stuff. It's just amazing. And you can find out all that on the website. I've got all the sign-up information there. It's only $20 to get in if you're not a member of VST.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
It's excellent. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. Mr. Mike Brennan, the editor of MI Tech News. Would you like to get that delivered to you every day? Every week on Friday, absolutely free. Simply go to internetadvisor.net and click the subscribe button. And welcome back to the Internet Advisor. This is our hour for answering your questions. And thank you very much. We've got some folks who are already standing by, and we'll get to them in just a moment. Here's the phone number, 800-859-0957. That's 800, toll-free, 859-0957. And we'll be getting to dealing with some dual boot issues, et cetera, coming up in just a moment. But, Gary, one of the things that there's a whole bunch of different conferences going on, very important ones, starting on Monday. I know that our Paul W. from WJR Radio will be one of the...
He's the MC for Fuel Leadership. We had Josh Linkner on show as our guest. He was actually on Paul W.'s show as the guest host when Paul was off on Friday. And Fuel Leadership, there may be a few more tickets left, but wonderful, wonderful program. It's all around leadership. Josh Linkner has organized it along with some other people, but they've got Magic Johnson, Jessica Alba, who founded the Honest Company, Mark Fields, CEO of Ford Motor Company, Commander Michael Abershoft wrote It's Your Ship, just a number of other really great leaders. But Paul W., Rick Snyder, our governor, will be on there as well. Certainly a great leader. But Paul is the MC. So it's probably fuelleadership.com. There's probably a few tickets left. If you haven't signed up and want to go on Monday, you should do that.
Well, one of the reasons I bring that up is that this is just a season for some really great events for people who are interested in technology. And we have somebody online with us right now who's going to tell us about Tech Week, something that's coming up very soon, and that's
next week.
Allison Kundell. Allison, thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
No, thanks so much for having me.
Tell us about Tech Week. This looked like so much, it's kind of hard to get our arms around. It's going to be happening coming up very soon.
Yes. So Tech Week, we do a lot of different things. It's all things technology in one week. So right now we're in six different cities. Detroit is one of those, and we'll kick off next week. But I think what we're most excited about is kind of looking at a very broad spectrum of entrepreneurship and technology and innovation in and around Detroit, and being able to highlight that throughout the course of the week and bring together a lot of really outstanding companies and technologists and the press, and kind of let people work together and just shine a spotlight on that ecosystem in Detroit, both within Michigan and then across our national network.
Wow, it sounds really kind of cool. Now, what is the object of Tech Week? Is it to gather that talent together, to kind of highlight the technological opportunities? What are you trying to do with it?
Yeah. You know, I think it's all of those things. Our mission at its core is, the way we define it, is to build a better world through tech entrepreneurship. And so I think really what we're trying to do is to kind of uncover the best tech talent in each of the places where we work. So I think in order to do that, we bring together some people that have been very successful to share lessons learned and to kind of interact. But some of the things that are most exciting for us is, you know, people come to Tech Week and say, I found my co-founder, or I got funding from one of the judges in our startup competition. And I think for us, those are the things that are just really exciting to see.
You know, I'm going to be going to Fuel Leadership on Monday, and then that ends at 5, and at 6 is the kickoff over at Tech Town for all of Tech Week.
Yes.
And so, you know, jump in my car, run run a few blocks over to Tech Week, to Tech Town, and it kicks off just a lot of different activities all week leading up to the actual conference on Thursday and Friday, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Monday we'll have our kickoff party. Tuesday we're doing a film screening of Citizen 4, which just won the Academy Award for Documentary of the Year about Edward Snowden. And then Wednesday, there's a few other partner events. The Michigan Venture Capital Association is having an event. There's a Hack Cafe at Tech Town again. And then Thursday and Friday are really the biggest days for us. And those will be all day at Ford Field. We have our conference expo. We have a startup competition, a hiring fair, a fashion and wearables runway show. So a lot of things going on.
Sounds like a tremendous amount of fun.
And, you know all about this because you're the chief strategy officer for all of the tech weeks all around the country, right?
Yes.
And you told me that you grew up with your father having WJR on the radio.
I did, and he's probably listening right now.
I certainly hope so. Just proud as punch, he's having his daughter on.
So we got to figure out, we got to figure out how to get you back to the state of Michigan, right? You grew up here. Did you go to school here?
I did. I went to the University of Michigan.
And then left the state. We got to get you back.
I know.
Allison,
I would love to come back. And I think for me, it's so exciting to come back to Detroit and kind of see how different it is.
Yes.
Even within a few years, just things up and coming and the companies that are there and like so much opportunity. For me, I considered staying in Detroit and there wasn't a great place for me to go. My career probably would not be in the same place had I stayed. Mm. And I think now it's getting to the point where I can come back and build something. And that's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting.
And you know, it's interesting, Allison, you're saying that because this Tech Week will be part of what's going to feed this a very exciting entrepreneurial atmosphere that's here. I keep on saying to young people who are thinking of, where do I want to be in Detroit, because there is so much that's happening here, and this is a good example of it. So can anybody participate in the in Tech Week?
Yes. So there's a few different ways to participate. Anybody can come. Tickets are on our website. And then we have a specific startup competition, so we invite a bunch of startups. We have them pitching kind of throughout the day on Thursday. So I think it's a lot of fun how we do it. They all will have a little bit of a setup, and the judges in the first round are anonymous, so they can walk up and kind of they'll pitch to anybody. So whoever's walking around, they'll pitch to them. And that's a pretty specific way for the startups.
I love it. Allison Kundle, who is our guest here, she's the chief strategy officer for Tech Week. And that's going to be taking place, as you said, at Ford Field Thursday and Friday of this week for people who are excited about things that are going on in the entrepreneurial atmosphere, technology, and beyond that. This is such an exciting area to be in right now because the potentials that are out there.
Well, when we first started this show 18-some years ago, our mission was to promote technology.
Yes.
In southeastern Michigan, in Michigan, in the Midwest, and then obviously globally, but really to help help really promote these companies, these kind of activities. And then the second part of that was also to help individuals that were listeners to us that would have a better online experience. So we devote a good deal of time to, activity like this and promoting them. There is a great opportunity here and more activity. This is your second year, right, Allison?
It is.
So, and I'm sure we'll do a third year here, and
girl, we got to get you back home.
Yeah, just wonderful to see this all happening.
it is. You know, I totally agree. And I love coming back to Detroit. I've made a bunch of trips back. And I think, you know, there's just some really exciting companies that we continue to see. And
yes.
I think I'm ready for just more and more. And I think that's what's happening.
Yeah. All right, Allison, there you have a ticket to come home then. Dad says, come home. Allison,
she'll
thank you so
much. She'll be here all next week.
And you'll be here all this coming week. Allison Condell, thank you very much. Chief Strategy Officer for Tech Week. Folks, if you want to find out more about it, go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, or you can simply go to techweek.com/Detroit and find out some of the exciting things coming up this next week here in Detroit. Allison, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. Great week in Detroit, isn't
it?
All right.
And, you know, we're bringing so many great people back, and that's the wonderful thing about it. Urban Spoon is going to be here. Some other people, The Muse, Reddit, just a lot of entrepreneurs from around the country. Many of them, like Allison, may have started here. In fact, some of them did. So.
Yep, a lot of them. All right, hey, folks, here's the phone number again, 800-859-0957. And my other two companions here, Cal and Ed, have been sitting here kind of quietly, like they're at the starting blocks. They're ready to jump out.
Well, they can't get a word in edgewise. That's part of it.
I'm shopping on Amazon right now.
Darren out there in Ohio, we're coming back to talk with you. I think we had a couple of other people who were calling in as well. And the phone lines are open at 800-859-0957. We're going to start answering your questions when we come back here with the Internet Advisor. By the way, this will be our format throughout this spring and summer. It's going to be 1 hour from 5 until 6 p.m. And the number is 800-859-0957. Call with your question. We're going to get you some answers in a moment. Well, they say give credit where credit is due. And I want to thank Rich Luzinski, who has been our engineer here, doing an incredible job. And Irina Albertson, who is answering the phone. Thank you so much, Irina, for doing that. As a matter of fact, we've got some folks who've been waiting very patiently, and the number is 800-859-0957. Eddie and Cal, here we go. Darren from Ohio, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Good evening, gentlemen. I have a question. I bought a new laptop this week with Windows 8.1 installed, but I'd like to install Windows 7 on it as a dual boot. I'm having some issues trying to make this happen. Oh. I was going to reach out to you for some advice.
That's interesting. So you have a Windows 8.1 machine, but you want to, you say a dual boot, but actually you're looking for a virtual machine to run it in, aren't you?
No.
Well, okay. I was looking to have it set up as when the machine would start up, I could either select Windows 7 or Windows 8.
Oh, that's okay. Okay. Ed, is that possible?
Well, it is, but when I've read about it, it can be very difficult because of the BIOSes that are on the Windows 8 systems.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's almost easier to put a Mac and a Windows box together or operating system together than it would be to...
Yeah, but you'd have to do that on a Mac. You know?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And he's purchased a PC. I'm trying to find my article that I found. Oh, and it's by... You know, we receive the monthly newsletters, and I know I saved it on my desktop. And... But basically, it's very difficult. It's almost like you have to install Windows 7 on there first and then put Windows 8. But you don't have a license for Windows 8 right now, do you? You have the
one
that was provided by the manufacturer.
Right. Correct.
So it has to do with that EFI. Isn't that the right, the BIOS?
Yes, now
I'm looking at Cal.
I am totally off the mark on this one. Because I tell you, first of all, I've never built a machine like that. At least on the Windows side of the game. But could you put two drives in it and then boot from one drive and then or boot from the other drive?
Now, that is an interesting concept.
Well, that's one way. But, you know, you like the partitions, but then you need a partition boot manager on there. And, I mean, Windows will let you do it. Have you just tried? I haven't looked at this in about a year, so I'm really out of date on how to do this. Have you looked on YouTube to see what people are saying?
Oh, good.
For basically, I got a Windows 8 system, but I really want to dual boot it with Windows 7. There's a lot of tutorial videos on that.
Yeah, I looked on YouTube. I found different scenarios, and the farthest I've gotten was I was able to disable the BIOS with the strict Windows 8. I think it's a UEFI.
Yeah, that's it.
I went back to the legacy BIOS. I was able to load the Windows from disk, and right after you accept the license, before it starts to load the files, right where the point where I select the partition, I get an error message that says Windows cannot be installed on this disk. This selected disk is of the GPT partition shell.
GPD. Okay.
Here's a crazy question.
Windows.microsoft.com does have a couple articles on this. Have you looked there?
I've looked on there. They said it'd be difficult to put 7 on after.
Yeah, it is.
Newer one. Mm-hmm. But the videos I've seen on YouTube, I've repeated the same steps exactly. I've seen it work on YouTube, but I just keep getting this error message.
Yep.
I'm just curious, why do you need to do this?
I'm studying Windows 7 as part of my certifications, so that's why I want that just as a practice shell, as a live.
Can you run like a virtual box on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's what came to me initially, you know, to have. Matter of fact, isn't there, Hyper-V? Isn't that the new virtual box that Microsoft has, I believe?
Well, I think when Microsoft released Windows 10 Pilot, what they did is they recommended that users install an Oracle virtual machine, if you will. So when you went to the Microsoft site to download Windows 10, it said you could download this version of Oracle's
virtual box,
if you will, and then you could install Windows 10, but you could do the same thing and install Windows 7. As an example, I'm trying to think of other virtual boxes or virtual machines you could potentially load in Windows 8 as well. And nothing's really coming to mind right now.
I'd take a look at VirtualBox, and I would probably download that and try and use that. Mm-hmm. That would probably be an easier way of going about it than, you know, trying to actually. So that way you could have both of them running at the same time.
I also remember if we had Dave Sawyer in here from. Microsoft was talking about this Hyper-V. I'm trying to find it on the fly here, and maybe you guys know more about it. Hyper-V, I think
that's a virtual machine.
It's a virtual machine
From Microsoft.
Right, exactly. Because it sounds like that it would be better for you, Darren, to do that, use a virtual machine. And by the way, folks, what essentially a virtual machine is software that allows you to run another operating system within your current operating system.
Right. It's a virtual machine. You don't have to go back to a single machine.
So then you don't have to play around with a lot of the boot kind of things that you're talking about.
Right.
And then you would be able to continue to work on, you know, whatever you needed to work on with your certification with Windows 7.
And I found the website I was really thinking of, and that is the WindowsSecrets.com.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And you know, you have Fred Lange out there, and he's written a number of articles about how to solve UEFI boot and startup problems and how to install multiple boot partitions.
Okay.
So if you go to WindowsSecrets.com, there was an article that he wrote about 3 months ago that talked about UEFI BIOSes and how to configure them. Every manufacturer is different. They all have key, you know, different...
Yeah.
You know, hooks into the operating system.
Basically, it sounds, Darren, like you could avoid a lot of the hassle that we've been kind of skirting around here by using a virtual machine to accomplish the same thing. Okay, Darren?
Sounds good. And I could just go to Microsoft to start, you know, for the virtual box, go start on their website to run that.
Well, I know Microsoft provided a link for their Windows 10 beta, if you will. And when I went to that site and downloaded it on my Windows 8, and I think, Foster, you did the same thing, you had the ability to download the Oracle VirtualBox from their website. Yeah, they provided a link to Oracle's website.
Right.
And, you know, howtogeek.com has something. They said basically you should, and it was your thought about how do you have Windows 8.1 and install Windows 10. You could just as easily install Windows 7.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so they go through how you would do that.
Okay, Darren, any number of those things. Let us know how this goes, okay?
Yeah, we're pointing them in the right direction, but unfortunately we don't have the step-by-steps because none of us have really done this.
Right.
We've done it in the past, but not with...
Not with 8.1, right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. If you did it
BIOS,
if you already had 7, you might be able to upgrade to 8.1.
Darren, thank you so much for giving us a call. It's a great question, and one that I think people in particular who are interested in working with Windows 7 who have a Windows 8 machine need to answer. Again, our phone number again, 800-859-0957, and welcome to Chris. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Yeah, I have a Windows 7 operating system. I have an Dell computer, and my Dell system detects the scan on it, and it says critical hardware failure, replace hard drive. Your hard drive is operating outside of normal parameters and should be replaced. Even though the computer is loading up pretty good and I can access my files, I'm just wondering what's going on here.
The very first thing you do is backup.
Yeah. All of our eyes, yeah. Get something to back up your data as quickly as possible.
I've done that, yes.
Okay, good.
Is that computer still under warranty?
No.
It's probably the smart system
in
the background that's actually telling them that. And what's happened is over time on mechanical hard drives, there is a little system that runs on the hard drive itself that notifies the operating system that when the hard drive's is performing outside the manufacturer's specifications, like how many bad blocks have been replaced over the lifetime of this computer, how many bad sectors are being replaced, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of when your engine light comes on.
Okay.
You know, you might be able to get 40 miles out of it, you might get 400 miles out of it, but now, you're gonna have to replace that hard drive.
Now, one of the things you could do, is this, what operating system is this?
Windows 7.
One of the things, have you got an external hard drive that you use to back up your data?
I have a, I just have the flash drive.
You just have the flash drive, so you use that to back up your data.
Correct.
But if you're lucky, one of the things you can do is, I mean, you can get an external hard drive for $50.
Yeah.
They're really cheap, especially if you have a slightly older computer that's 5 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So for $50, you could buy an external USB hard drive. Microsoft Windows has the ability to back up your computer and create a system image of your entire computer right now.
Okay.
And it'll let you create a Windows 7 startup disk. So
when I first got my computer, I do have the factory image recovery on my...
And that's great. And you could use that, but that'll put you back to day one, 5 or 7 years ago.
Right.
But what happens to all the programs that you've installed subsequently?
And configuration.
And configure. So for $50, you could buy an external hard drive, run this Microsoft utility, and you could buy another hard drive.
What's it called again,
Ed?
What's that utility called?
Oh, come on. I can't drive and talk at the same time.
But then you're saying that now you can get a hard drive and put it into the machine and install back onto it, right?
Okay.
Real easy.
Right. It's create a system image.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called the external hard drive.
Yeah, so you go on the control panel, undo, backup and restore, and it create a system image. It'll back up everything the way the computer is right now, makes a clone of it.
Okay.
Chris, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll finish those details.
We'll make sure 800-859-0957
for your question. Thank you, by the way, for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. We're part of the great experts of variability to you, answering questions about old things like gardening and home repairs, et cetera, here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, WJR. And we here at the Internet Advisor are here to answer your questions about computers. So after you enjoy talking with Dr. Dean Kroskoff, for instance, with the garden show just before us, then stick around. And if you've got a question about your computer, 800-859-0957 is the number to call. And we still have time for a couple more of your questions, if you'd like. I know you may be just kind of just bumped into us and said, oh, my goodness, I didn't know this was here. Or, boy, I've been having these problems with my computer, but I don't know. I feel kind of awkward asking the question. Listen, our mantra is the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. And sometimes the very simplest questions can answer a lot of people's questions. So 800-859-0957. Ed?
Hey, you know, I received a notice last week that, you know, from Microsoft for my Hotmail account, basically telling me we've seen some suspicious activity on your email, and we recommend that you use the Microsoft Secure website to change your password. So I closed out of the email. It came from Microsoft onto my Hotmail, and I actually went through the process to change my password because I realized it had been 2 years since I've changed my password, and then all messages stopped. So, I mean, this is a good point. For listeners, if you're out there, it's too beautiful of a day. You're probably outside right now raking and doing things you're not supposed to. But change your passwords at least once a year. This includes your iTunes, right, Cal? Especially because of the breaches we've had with iPay. It's not iPay, is it?
Apple Pay.
Oh, it's iPay. Okay, Apple Pay. But I pay for Apple Pay. And
I end up paying
your iTunes account, change your mail, change your Gmail, all those, at least once a year, if not more. Use complicated characters. Use the exclamation points, the pound symbols. Capitalize some.
I'm also using dual authentication now with Google and with Hotmail.
And that's a good point, because if you have not changed your password recently in a few years, you may find out that Gmail provides or Hotmail provides this dual authentication.
Yep.
If, especially because you haven't changed your password in several years, when you go through the change password sequence, they'll actually start that for you. Would you like to receive a text message when you change your password?
Excellent. Okay, we've got Doug from Ohio. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you here? Hello, Doug.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
What? Yeah, I'm in the market for a new laptop, mm-hmm. and I was wondering if it's worth the wait to get a Windows 10 machine or to buy something just with a different operating system on it.
Well, Windows 10 is going to be coming out this coming summer, so in a matter of a few months, it will be on the market. And
but a lot of companies will take and give you just a certificate that says when it comes out, you can upgrade.
Yeah, exactly.
So you should check.
So if you bought a new laptop right now with Windows 8.1 on it, then as soon as Windows 10 has been pushed out, you'll get that update. Yeah. And by the way, I've been
you
using
make
Windows...
make sure of that when you buy it.
Yeah.
Well, sure I think Microsoft already said, didn't you have Dave in here that basically said if you're running Windows Vista or Windows 7, you're eligible for a free upgrade?
That too as well.
For Windows 10, yes.
But you're talking, Dave, about about buying a new computer, right? A new laptop?
Yes, right. Does Windows 10 have enough new features that it's worth waiting for?
I've been using it for about nine months right now.
I'll update as soon as it comes out. In
are you using Windows 10?
Not yet. Not
I'm using the preview right
now.
Yeah,
and you went through so much pain, I decided to let you go ahead and experiment. I had to get work done, so.
You know, I'm a cancer survivor, and I'm in the infusion area where I'm hooked up, and I'm getting in it. And a lady next to me had a Surface Pro 3.
Oh,
and
nice.
Because we're there for 2-3 hours, and I asked her how she liked it, and she was saying, "Oh, I can't get used to this Windows 8." I said, "Hang on, hon, hang on. Windows 10 is coming." And then I showed her on my laptop how nice Windows 10 is. It looks like Windows 7 in many ways. There's just so many things about it that get past a lot of the nonsense that's in Windows 8 that I'd say, hang on.
I'm not sure it's nonsense, but they reach too far, right? The kids all love Windows 8, right? But they reach too far for all of us that have gotten comfortable with the old way of doing things. We didn't want to jump that far.
Yeah, it was a huge leap. And I think the nice thing
about... my son loves it.
Windows 10 will, for those of us, I'll agree with you, Gary, on that. Those of us who are older users, used to Windows 7 and other operating systems before that, you'll like Windows 10, I believe. So if you buy a new laptop right now, there's some great bargains out there right now, Doug. If it's got Windows 8.1 on it, figure 2 months, I think, maybe 3 months, and Windows 10 will be here.
Just in time for college, right?
Does that answer your question, Doug?
But if you're going to buy...
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
thank you.
But make sure you get a certificate that says... You know, yes, we'll allow you to upgrade to Windows 10 for free.
Yeah. I think when Dave was on, I think it's like for a year, once Windows 10 comes out, you have a year of free upgrade to
Windows
10.
But from 8.1 to 10?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
All right, Gary, who's calling us from, deep in the heart of Florida. How you doing, Gary?
We're doing pretty good.
You haven't made it back to Michigan yet? It's a little late in the year to migrate back to Michigan?
You could certainly send...
Pardon me?
We'll be in Dundee, Michigan next week.
Bring some nice weather back with you, would you, please?
What can we do for you, Gary?
All right. I don't know how it happened. Don't ask me how it happened, but I have sometimes three sets of my documents on my computer. In fact, almost three copies somehow on it. And I want to run duplicate Finder, but I don't want it to find the copies and delete them. I'd like to merge them together because programs are dropping one place or another, and I don't have all the same data in each one.
I got you. Gary, what operating system are you running?
7.
Windows 7,
And how many of these files are there? Do you know?
There's three.
No, but I mean, like, are there, do you have like 100 files that are in triplicate now?
About.
Are they mostly photos, or I mean, what type of files are they?
No, it's somehow it copied my what I have onto my same drive instead of onto my external drive, and then it somehow it's copied it again onto my drive. So out of a terabyte, I'm almost full, and I only have about 300 gig. You know, it just duplicated itself on the hard drive.
Are you using some sort of backup program?
No.
Oops. Yeah. Okay. Oops.
Well, something like this can happen with a click and slide motion, especially when you're using an Explorer. When you are looking at your files, are you using the Windows Explorer to navigate onto your disk drive, and then you go to My Computers or Libraries or Documents? I mean, how do you usually navigate? Okay, that's how you're usually navigating them. So where do you see the duplicates? Are you seeing My Documents, and then you see your different libraries below there, and are you seeing Documents, Documents, or Pictures, Pictures?
If I go to My Documents, and then I go down to My Documents, I click on it, I've got my whole C drive again. And if I click on My Documents there, I've got my whole C drive again.
One thing I might want to suggest, just in case, because I've seen this before when there's a disk corruption. So either you truly do have duplicates, okay, from a click and a slide and or drag and a slide and a drop, and it actually starts copying, or you have a corrupt Microsoft NTFS file system and or in the view. So you might want to use Microsoft's ScanDisk utility, or what used to be known as ScanDisk, by going into My Computer, right mouse clicking on your C drive and selecting Properties. When you select Properties, select the Tools tab, and then you select Check My Disk Drive for Errors, and then Attempt to Repair and Recover Data. When you select that, it'll prompt you to reboot. This is how Microsoft will check your disk drive for errors in case that's like a bogus display, if you will. You know, it's like a false, it's disk corruption.
Sounds great. I'll try it.
Gary, okay. I'm going to put you on hold and we can make sure that you've got all that down. But for the rest of you who are listening right now, this is the way we want to do this all summer long. If you give us a call, we'll answer your questions. And if during the week you have other questions, simply go to internetadvisor.net. And when you're there, you can put a question into us through the Contact Us button. Thanks so much, Rich and Irina, for being behind the scenes here, helping us out. Gary, Ed, Cal, thanks so much for being with us this week. And for the rest of you folks out there, you can find all 2 hours on our podcast on Sunday nights on the Internet Advisor.